Chapter 6, The Third Principle, Now. Quote, memories of the past and anticipation of the future exist only now, and thus to try to live completely in the present is to strive for what already is the case. Unquote. That's Alan Watts. You've heard it many times, so often in fact that it's become a cliché. Live in the present. The now is all there is. Forget about the past. It's over. Don't worry about the future. There's only today. While these are familiar refrains, the truth is that living in the now is an elusive activity for virtually everyone. It may be easy to say, but it's very tricky to do day in and day out. And yet, Alan Watts is absolutely correct in the above quotation when he states that it already is the case. That is why living in the present moment is so baffling. Think about the past, and you're not living in the now. But the now is the only thing available for thinking about the past. Live in anticipation of the future, and you're admonished for not being here now, but now is all you have for engaging in that delicious futurizing. Thus, as Alan Watts reminds you, you strive for what already is. To be in the now is really your only option. But the real question isn't how to live in the now, it's how to use the now by being present, rather than wasting it on reflections of the past or concerns about the future. And if you carefully examine the 18 categories of excuses detailed in Chapter 3, you'll discover that none of them apply if you master the art of being present. Ego, excuse-making, and the elusive now. After spending several days preparing to write this chapter, I was trying to focus on its significance when I decided to go for a long swim in the ocean. As I walked toward the water, I noted that I felt some tension in my solar plexus region. It wasn't anything serious, it was just that discomfort I described earlier that I often feel when I have many things to do or decisions to make. At the moment I was about to dive in, my thoughts went back to the reading I'd just finished on the psychology of the now. I decided to see if I could totally immerse myself in the moment, which of course meant that I was already striving for what already is the case, since I have no other moment other than this one. Only this time I'd be fully present, letting everything just be. I wouldn't worry about the ache in my chest, think about how cold the water would be, or which direction the current was flowing, or rehash all the things I had on my current to-do list. I'd simply be in the now. I indeed let everything else go and stayed focused on the instant, the place, and the surroundings. And something strange and wonderful happened. My chest stopped hurting. I loosened up. All of my anxiety dissolved, and I felt totally energized. For the next 60 minutes or so, I moved through the water, staying 100% present. The moment I decided to just be there completely, with all other thoughts pushed aside, the discomfort I was experiencing disappeared. Moreover, I had the most peaceful swim I've ever had, and I emerged from the water fully refreshed. My conclusion is that the present moment is an antidote for the pain and difficulties we experience, which we habitually try to soothe with rationales and explanations. When we plunge ourselves 100% into the now, experiencing it and nothing else, we're on an excuses-begone journey with no need for all of those old, habituated thinking patterns. In fact, excuses are simply what you've developed to explain now moments that are tangled in the past or the future. If you're truly in that blissful presence of the now, there's no desire to alter what is. When your sentences express that it's going to be difficult, or it's going to take a long time, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm too old, you're wasting a present moment with excuses from a not now moment. And when are you having these thoughts? You guessed it. The only time you can have a thought is in the now. So if your present moment is being used up replaying why present moment thinking is incorrect, that is, making excuses, is it available for you to do something constructive? Obviously not. All excuses are avoidance techniques to keep you from taking charge and changing your thinking habits. If you weren't rehashing your excuses, but were instead immersed in the now, you'd be experiencing your own form of the bliss and healing that took place for me during my magical swim. You see, when I removed ego from the moment, I stopped thinking about myself and focused on being fully present. And then I was able to be truly here without ego's excuses. I had plenty of explanations for the tension in my chest, but when I moved totally into the now with no other thoughts, the excuses disappeared, along with the pain. The ego is a false self that believes in its separation. It strives to acquire and to achieve, and it's constantly in search of more. Just as it can't coexist with awareness and alignment, it can't survive in the now. When you luxuriate in the moment, it's impossible to ask for anything else, let alone more. The essence of living in the presence is total acceptance of precisely what is here. Your mind doesn't wander to what used to be, what ought to be, or what's missing, and you don't conjure up excuses. Rather, you have a heightened awareness of experiencing your highest self. You also feel a deep sense of connection to God, who isn't doing anything differently than God was doing an hour or a century ago, or will be doing a millennium from now. Your source energy is always only here and only now. It doesn't know how to be any other way. It has no plans, no regrets, no worries about the future, no guilt over the past. It simply is. And what is God doing? Nothing. And what does God leave undone? Nothing. By staying in the now and in a state of gratitude for all that is and all that you are, you tame the ego and you enter a state where excuses cannot even be considered. What excuse do you need when you're fully present? None. Of what use is ego, that false self, when you're with your source in the moment? Don't use up the now with thoughts of regret or worry. The experience of higher awareness is your reward. With ego in control, virtually every thought is making an excuse, focusing on what always has been or what you fear always will be. By befriending the present moment, you say goodbye to that troublesome ego. The issue isn't whether you choose to live in the now or not, because the basic truth is that it's the only thing that's ever available to live in. The past all occurred in the now. The future, which never comes except as a present moment, is all that's available. The real issue is how you choose to use up the precious moments of your life. You can choose higher awareness and suspend ego-dominated past-future thoughts, eliminating your reliance on excuses. Full immersion into the essence of the now is when you truly come face-to-face with your source of being. This is the great value of learning to become fully present. Befriending the now. Often the now is seen by ego as simply a means to an end, something to be endured to get to a future point. This means never getting to be fully here in the moment, since you're using it up anticipating where you'll be in the future. Of course, the future is endlessly always just ahead of you, as thoughts in your head, setting you up for a life of striving rather than arriving. However, this particular course in Excuses Be Gone takes quite a different stance. Rather than wasting time being annoyed because there's no such planning to do for the future, stop and remind yourself to be here now, as my friend Ram Dass suggests in the title of his famous book. To do so, befriend the now. See it as your ally, the only place you've ever been or ever will be, and do a brief meditation reminding yourself what this life experience is all about. One of my favorite techniques to bring me squarely into alignment with the present is to imagine what all of God's beautiful creatures do in every moment of their existence. They're not concerned with their demise. They bask in the exhilaration of the now. Every moment is fully experienced. I don't see any creatures seemingly hating what they're doing, cursing their lot in life, or arguing with themselves or each other over it. They don't make life an enemy and use up their precious moments in a state of anxiety or depression. Years ago, I was privileged to take part in a safari in the northern part of South Africa. The other members of the group and I were gathered for dinner one evening when we noticed 6 or 7 zebras grazing right outside of our tent. As we got a closer look, I noticed something that I've used ever since to remind me to maintain a friendly relationship with the now, rather than treating it as an obstacle to endure on the way to somewhere else. One of the zebras had been attacked during the night, and its right hind quarter and leg looked as if it had been chewed on by a lion looking for a meal. This beautiful animal seemed to be peacefully grazing completely in the moment, even though one of its legs had almost been chewed off the night before. I thought that if that animal was capable of being fully present under such conditions, how could I suffer anxiety over what might or might not happen in the future, or be upset about what took place in the past? That zebra seemed to be saying, "Hey, this is the only moment I have. This is what it is, and I'm going to live fully in each instant until I leave this plane of existence." While this is an extreme example, it always serves to help me, particularly whenever I'm leaning toward those excuses that I've often employed when I slip into making the present moment an enemy rather than a constant companion. I think of that astonishingly beautiful yet maimed zebra, and I get myself right back to the now, and I'm there in such a way that I don't use it up by being upset over a past event or worrying about what's coming up. Our relationship to the present moment defines our relationship to life itself. One of the great insights I've ever had concerns my experiences of time as the ultimate illusion. I think about it in this way. Whatever has happened in the past, no matter how many years, centuries, or millennia ago, all took place in the now. Just now. There's no way to experience anything other than in the precious present moment. Thus, the idea that it happened in the past must be an illusion, since everything only gets experienced now. The time thing is a grand illusion. The same logic applies equally to the future. Whatever we fantasize about happening then will also only take place in the now. All we get is now. 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 Time is what we seem to be measuring with wristwatches, clocks, and calendars, but in fact it's all nothing more than a series of present moments. The message, then, in this excuses-begone paradigm is that being in the now will help you overcome all of your explanations for why you aren't living at your highest level. Your relationship to life itself reflects your relationship to the present moment. So if your head is filled with frustrating or angry thoughts about what isn't happening or the way the world looks to you, you're not going to have a very good relationship with life. Yet a dysfunctional relationship with life is really nothing more than a dysfunctional relationship with the present moment. Again, life only gets lived in the now. Rather than seeing your present moment as an obstacle, see it as the supreme miracle. Wayne, this is the only moment you have, is a sentence I often say to myself to keep me on friendly terms with the now. Think about that. The only moment you have. When you realize the significance of this, you'll immediately want to shift into a state of awe and gratitude for it, regardless of what is transpiring. I do this frequently in my yoga practice, particularly when I'm challenged by a difficult posture. Balancing on one leg and holding the other one straight out with my hands cupped beneath the ball of my foot is a challenge that leads me to murmur, "Be here now, Wayne. There's a time for being exhausted, and there will be a time for resting, but it's not here yet, so just stay in the present moment." And of course, it always passes, but the next moment that shows up amazingly also shows up as a now, and the next, and so it goes with every experience of life. Removing judgment. I've discovered that I have greater success with being fully present when I remove judgment from what I'm experiencing. Rather than making an event a bad or a good experience, I find myself simply being in the isness of the moment. That is, what I'm feeling is much more helpful than why it isn't what I think it should be. This is called allowing rather than resisting what is. Even if I wish to change the moment, it's far more useful to allow it without any judgment and then notice everything I can about it. The more I stay out of my good thought, bad thought routine, the more I'm able to just be with it. I love to observe the instant without any judgment. Birds simply allow whatever comes their way, no matter if the wind picks up or the rain comes, and I work at being like one of those fabulous creatures. The way I do so is to ask myself this question, what's happening right here and right now, independent of my opinion about it? Then I notice all that I can take in, the sky, the wind, the sounds, the light, the insects, the temperature, the people, the judgments, everything. I stay free of opinions and just let myself be. In these moments, I don't need an excuse for anything. Even while I sit and write, I'm practicing being present and simply allowing the words to flow through my heart, to my hand, and onto the page with a total absence of judgment. And when I eat my lunch, I work at just being present in a state of gratitude for my food and the experience of eating, rather than using those moments to think about all that I have to do in the evening or passing judgment on the taste, color, or smell of my lunch experience. I try to keep in mind that whenever I react against any form that life takes in the present moment, I'm treating the now as some kind of impediment or even as my enemy. As a child, you knew how to be totally present. I encourage you to become an observer of little unspoiled children. Notice how they don't react to every little disturbance in their world and how they're in the moment and then in the next moment and so on. You can use this kind of non-judgment to practice your new explanation-free identity, total immersion in the present without judging. That is, simply allowing yourself to be, is a great way to rid yourself of those long-held thinking habits that I'm calling excuses. Be without judgment, and you'll never feel the need for some tiresome excuse to use up your precious seconds, such as, it's never happened before, I'm too old, or it will take a long time. Instead, you'll be in the now, welcoming your constant present moment companion, your source of being, which knows nothing of excuses and doesn't know how to be any place but here, now. As one of my spiritual predecessors, Dale Carnegie, once wrote, quote, "One of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We are all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside of our windows today." Unquote. Become one in the present with all of the roses that show up in your life. Here are a few suggestions for implementing present moment awareness. First, practice becoming aware of your reactions when someone introduces any kind of mental disturbance into your life. Where do your thoughts take you? What do you think about in that instant? You'll probably find that your thoughts are projections into the past or the future, so bring yourself back to the now. As you're receiving the disrupting information, ask, how am I feeling right now, instead of how am I going to feel later, or how did I feel back then. By giving yourself a gentle reminder in the moment of your discomfort, you'll bring yourself back to what you're experiencing now. Watch as your discomfort dissolves when you experience it in the present. Just keep practicing bringing yourself back to the here and now, and remember as you do so that this is your relationship to life itself. Accept the present moment and find the perfection that's untouched by time itself. And next, give yourself the luxury of learning present moment living by adopting the following two practices, making them a regular part of your daily life. First, meditation. Get rid of the excuses you've used that it's too difficult, you don't have the time or energy, and so forth. Begin today, practicing any form of meditation that appeals to you. You'll discover that you'll become adept at allowing interfering thoughts to flow through in the now, rather than trying to stop or change them. And secondly, practice yoga. Find a studio and give yourself the opportunity to experience this ancient practice. The word yoga means union, and the practice of yoga helps you to rejoin your source and free yourself from many of your useless habitual thoughts. Yoga helps you to look into your soul and to be present. You'll experience the oneness of everything. You'll find peace rather than excuses. Then repeat this affirmation. I choose to stay fully present in the now, and this is the only place that I will come to know God. By repeating this to yourself in silence for a 5-minute period, you reinforce the importance of being a present moment person. Repetition is crucial. Make this a regular practice, and it will ultimately become your way of being. I choose to stay fully present in the now, and this is the only place that I will come to know God. And finally, stay present every second, every minute, and every hour. Every day of your life is full of present moments of infinite value. You won't find God yesterday or tomorrow. Your source is always only here and only now.